According to Stanford professor Carol Dweck, the author of a book called Mindset, The New Psychology of Success, and co-founder of a company called Mindset Works, the way we understand our intelligence and abilities deeply impacts our success. Duh. No controversy in that statement. Almost common sense, you might say. Yet when we see our abilities, she goes on to say, as fixed, we will avoid the challenge, whatever that challenge may be, and give up when things get hard or difficult, which always occurs at the beginning of whatever challenge is before us. Now that is an insight that's worth listening to. Conversely, she says that when we understand our abilities as something that can be developed, the more readily we adopt a learning-oriented behavior, such as practice, such as openness to new ideas, such as grit and determination to learn, that it enable us then to master something that we once were novices at, even if those goals at the beginning seem preposterous to us. If I was to tell you when you were a newborn baby, like Melanie here, that someday she could be a PhD candidate, she might look at me and think I'm nuts. But nothing is preposterous. Nothing is preposterous with God. Belief, she says, Dweck says, is a malleable thing. It's like putty. You can make things happen when we believe in things. And there are clear actions that we can take to establish a growth mindset. There are things practically that we can do that enable success for not only our children, for our peers, for ourselves, and for our companies, and for our churches. Now, I'm not a social scientist, and I do not have data to back up her assertions, but I believe belief matters. I believe that belief matters. What we believe and tell ourselves in terms of our stories inside of our heads shapes who we are ultimately as human beings. I believe that is why John 3:16-17 is so important for us to hear. For God so loved the world, it says, that he gave ultimately his only son, that whoever believeth in him, i.e. trusts in him, follows in his path of humanity, should not perish, but have eternal or everlasting life, to be true. I believe he is the epitome of what it means to be a human being for us. And I believe that science is just beginning to catch up to what our biblical ancestors knew a long, long time ago. In almost every healing story that's in the Gospels, Jesus says to the person that has been healed, it is your faith that has made you well. It is your ability to believe that I could help you make you well. If you don't believe that, I can do nothing. When I worked at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in the children's ward back in the early 80s, the children's ward had all of these machines in them. Some of them were very intimidating machines, but others were really cool, like Pac-Man. How many of you remember Pac-Man? The original video game, right? Had a little joystick. You put your quarter in it. Well, for the kids, it was free. You just put in some slug, and then they could go play it all day long if they wanted to. And it had a little joystick that you controlled, and it chased down these little yellow faces that would go around in a maze called Pac-Man. And you would gobble them up, or if you weren't careful, they would gobble you up. But by gobbling up these little fellas, the children at Memorial Sloan Kettering saw themselves and believed themselves to be eating up their own cancer cells. Those little Pac-Men represented cancer. And every time they gobbled one up, they felt like that was also happening in their body as a result. I can't tell you if it increased the healing there because I didn't work there beyond the summer months, but I never saw any research that said it didn't. And I know that the doctors there at the time and still there, and the nurses and the chaplains and everybody who worked with those kids believed that it helped the children at least overcome the fear of an otherwise deadly disease. It gave them some control over that disease and gave them the discipline and the grit to keep on keeping on when the chemo would have had them lay in bed. Back to Dr. Dweck's research on mindset. We can see that if someone has the belief that they are special, she says, or thinks that they're superior to others, most likely that indicates a strong belief that they are inferior and that they have a fear of being loathed, a self-loathing, you might even say, while someone with a growth mindset, or what I would call, I want to try new things, or I really want to learn this, someone who believes that they can learn and grow and thus are open to the prospect of expansion, to use her word, are able to do so. In short, what you believe determines almost everything about who you will become as a human being in life. That's why the stories you let into your mindset are so important. Which stories do you follow is important. I think our biblical stories are excellent examples of stories for us to follow. Now, what has this to do with our lives every day, right? Well, I can tell you from my life that my own struggles with depression and with anxiety from time to time have made me a stronger person than I would have been had I not gone through these tough times. They have given me the discipline and the grit, which are essential for keeping on even when you don't feel like it. But even if you don't have the discipline, and even and especially when you are in the pits of despair and feel as if you've been totally, completely abandoned, you have not lost your belief. You are like Job or Jesus crying out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Which is a belief statement. We are never left without belief when we struggle. We are never left without belief. It's just not comfortable. It's disconcerting because it's not the way we thought life should go, but we still have belief. In essence, when we go through hard times, we find out what we truly believe, really believe at the heart of the matter, not only about ourselves, but about our God. Is our God dependable? Does our God come through in hard times, or is our God something that's just a nice idea? Now, we have been talking for the last several weeks about the road that we are on to close our budget deficit. And just so you know, we picked up 7 new pledgers, which is a great compliment to you guys. And I'm sure we'll have even more good news as the next few weeks unfold before us and we reach out to those that couldn't be with us this last past Sunday on Pledge Sunday. But having to go through something that is tough, having to go through something that's not easy is how we learn. It is how we grow in our belief and our faith. And anybody in business will tell you that if they haven't struggled, they haven't learned anything. And that any entrepreneur who is worth his or her salt has failed miserably at some point in their lives. But the difference is they've learned from the failure. They've gotten up from the failure like a phoenix rising out of the ashes. It's how we learn. It's how we overcome our fears. It's how we break through to a new level that we never thought we could achieve. We see not only that we can struggle together, that we can survive together, but far more importantly, that we thrive together. And that's why when we share what we've been through, when we share the hard times, especially with one another, we actually end up offering each other hope. Why? Because we've come out the other side. And that is where the hope is found. I came through the valley of the shadow of death. I didn't get stuck in it. I wanted to run through it, but I got through it eventually. You see, the opposite of this isn't doubt to belief, it's fear. And we can give in to fear. I've seen it happen for people when they give in to fear. Fear that would tell us to shrivel up and die and just go away, which is the devil's greatest tool, by the way, and the devil's greatest hope that we'll do just that. Curse God and die and be done with it. That's what the devil says to Job. And Job rails against God. He doesn't listen to the devil. He continues to rail against God. I know it's you. I don't care what this thing is saying to me. I want you to answer for it. You see, fear seeks to tear you down. It seeks to destroy you, just like those cancer cells in kids and in others that are adults seeks to tear your body down. But faith does battle with fear. Faith and belief does battle with anything that would seek to destroy us. And it triumphs ultimately over fear. And it triumphs ultimately, we are told, even, and most importantly, over death. That's why the resurrection is so important. That's why our story is so important. It offers us hope when there seems to be no other place to go, when it seems so final. So I'm here today to tell you that when we baptize little Melanie today, we are saying that we believe with all of our hearts, with all our souls, with all of our minds, and with all of our strength that God so loved the world that he gave not only the ultimate to us, which was his Son, but he sent the Son here not to condemn us, not to condemn us to fear and to death, but to give us life eternally and an abundance of it, to know what it means to have the experiences of joy and sorrow, to have it all, and then finally to achieve that peace that passes all understanding, that calm inside of us after the storm. Folks, this church stands here today because of the belief of our own ancestors in this particular building over the century that we've been around. And because of our belief today, we are still here and we are still thriving. We are building another layer, another brick, so to speak, into the mortar of the foundation that was laid first by Jesus and then those 12, and now by us, almost a billion of us since then. And this church will be here because we, its people, are the church, not the brick and mortar that surrounds us. It's a nice brick and mortar that surrounds us, but that is not the church. We are the church and always will be. And we will grow and we will be everything that Christ Jesus wants us to be in this place. And we will continue to believe that when we are at our best, we support and we lift each other up. And when we are at our worst, when we let fear and unhappiness turn into us, into complaining and negative folks, that we're at our worst. It's a choice. We get to choose which direction we're going to go. We can choose the faith that says our best days yet lie ahead, or we can use the fear that says, nah, you've hit your peak. It's time to die. Nonsense. The choice is always ours. It's always ours. And so with Joshua, we too might decide this day whom we will serve. But as for me and my family, and I hope for you as well, says Joshua, we shall worship and serve the Lord. Amen.